Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Before Doctor Strange, there was Shandu, a young man who learned the art of magic to defend the people against the forces of evil. Today's episode, the 1931 to 1950 series, Shandu the Magician. The series was very popular for the day, and it served as inspiration for many of the supernatural characters that appeared after. There was also a very cool movie serial starring Bela Lugosi as Shandu in one of his rare heroic roles. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you're a fan of Shandu, please let me know the usual ways. Links can be found in the description. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider following, leaving a review, and rating. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
Disguised as gypsies, Frank Chandler, his sister Dorothy Regent, and her son and daughter are traveling in the mountains of Montalbania with a gypsy tribe. As they sit near the campfire, Chandler discovers a man lurking in the darkness and creeping closer and closer to them. He disappears, and a moment later, Betty cries out that she sees him not 10 feet from where they sit.
Chandu, the magician.
Oh, Uncle Frank, don't go over there where he is. He might shoot you or something.
Let me go, Uncle Frank. No, sit still. Don't keep looking over there toward him. I'll just get up and stroll casually over there toward the wagon. It may be some gypsy who has a grudge against Lupu's family.
Oh, Mother, I wish he wouldn't. Look, he's almost up to that man. Oh, look, he's standing right up.
Nicholas, what are you doing here? Mr. Chandler. It is Mr. Chandler, isn't it?
It's Nicky, all dressed up like a gypsy.
Well, can you beat that?
What are you doing here in the clothes of a gypsy?
Come over here and sit down a moment with us.
With us? You don't mean you have Mrs. Regent and Bob and Betty out here?
Yes, they're right here. You almost frightened Betty to death.
Oh, I'm sorry. How do you do, Mrs. Regent?
How do you do, Nicholas?
What's the idea of the trick clothes, Nick?
I'll never speak to you again, Nicky. You scared me so I know my hair has turned pure white.
Oh, Betty, please forgive me. I had no idea you were here. You know I wouldn't frighten you.
But what are you doing here? Do you know these gypsies?
No, but I often dress like this and visit the gypsy camps just for a lark. I've done it a dozen times when I've been home from Paris on visits.
But have they never discovered who you were?
No.
But why were you lurking out there in the trees? Don't you know they might have taken a shot at you?
Oh, that's just part of the fun.
Suppose some of these young gypsy fellows got the idea you were paying attention to some of these pretty girls.
Oh, but I never do that.
I know, but you can't keep them from becoming suspicious.
Yes, and Nicholas, you know.
Just a minute, will you, Dorothy? Nicholas, will you come over here with me a moment? Well, I'd like to speak to you alone.
Of course.
You go over here by the wagon where we can talk without attracting the attention of the gypsies there at the fire. We'll be right back. Here's the place. Sit down here on the step of the wagon.
Will you tell me one thing? What are you doing out here?
Oh, we're just on a little holiday.
That seems odd. How long do you expect to be out here?
A few days.
Do you know these gypsies?
Yes. Lupu, the son of the chief, has been a friend of mine for many years. But let's not talk about that. I want to give you a little advice, if you don't mind.
Of course not. But you're not trying to frighten me about these gypsies, are you?
No. But I do wish you'd give up these foolish things you do. You must realize you can't go on doing just as you like.
Oh, I know I should take this government business more seriously. But all this talk of politics and diplomacy bores me almost to death.
Then let me tell you something. Something that's behind all this talk of politics and diplomacy. At this moment, Count Mithras is planning to overthrow the Montalbanian government and seize your father's throne.
What? Oh, that can't be possible.
It is possible, though. It's true.
But Count Mithras... He's been prime minister ever since I was a little boy.
I can't help that.
But how do you know?
Because I heard him and Dmitri discussing it.
You heard them? Where? How could you hear them? Oh, you must be mistaken.
No, I'm not mistaken. I can't tell you how I heard them, but I did. Kidnapping you was the first step in their scheme.
You think they meant to kill me then?
Yes. As soon as the hue and cry had died away a little, I think they meant to kill you there in the cellars of our castle. And if it was discovered before the revolution became a success, they planned to blame me for your murder.
Oh, but I simply can't believe it, Mr. Chandler.
You must believe it. And you must give up these foolish things you do. You're making yourself a target for a bullet or a knife. And who could ever prove it wasn't some renegade gypsy that killed you?
I see. Did you know about this plot when you came up here to Montalbania, Mr. Chandler?
But no sooner had we arrived than I began to hear things which led me to suspect there might be such a plot. You yourself heard Count Metzels talking to an American the night of Mr. Mason's reception.
Yes. Oh, by the way, did you ever discover what that key was for, the one I sent you in the letter?
Yes. I found it unlocked a hidden door, opening into a small library at the back of the castle, next to the mountain. And whom do you think we found in that little room?
You found somebody in there?
Who was it? It was an American criminal whose name is Corbin. He'd been bound and gagged and left in there.
You don't mean you knew him?
I'd seen him once before, almost a year ago, in Egypt. At that time, he was working for a man named Von Boden, a mad scientist, and perhaps the most dangerous man who has lived for 100 years.
Von Boden? I've heard that name somewhere. Well, when does Von Boden live?
He's dead now. He died in Malta several months ago. What have you heard of him?
I can't think just now. I knew I'd heard the name somewhere before.
Oh, it's probably another Von Boden. At any rate, we need worry about him no longer. But this plot of Count Metzels is a serious thing, and you shouldn't take it lightly.
Well, it's really true. I certainly shan't take it lightly. What do you think I should do?
How did Count Metzels receive the news that you didn't return to Paris?
Now that you mention it, he seemed rather upset. At the time, I thought nothing of it. You think he's really trying to get me out of the country so he can go ahead with his schemes, don't you?
Yes. You told me yourself he'd been trying to keep you away from Montalbania, or you believed he had.
Then I was right, wasn't I?
I'm sure you were. I believe the people who kidnapped you were Count Landon's men, the men of the King's Guard. You said you didn't see any of them.
No. They came up behind me and threw something over my head.
You see? If it had been anyone else, some of those guards would have stopped them as they were carrying you through the palace grounds.
I have been acting like a child, haven't I? I'll go right back to Lubova tonight and warn my father. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your explaining all this to me, Mr. Chandler. They might have had my father killed.
That is one thing I can tell you. You need not fear. Dmitri wished to do it. But that is not the plan.
Dmitri wished to do it? Oh, then his friendship for me is in Paris was just a pretense to secure an invitation to come to Montalbania?
Yes, I'm sorry, but it was. But here's another thing. Whoever's at the bottom of this plot does not mean to strike at once. There's no immediate danger.
But I thought you said Count Metzels was at the bottom of it.
No. The whole thing's being managed by someone outside Montalbania. Unfortunately, I didn't learn who it was.
You're up here now on some kind of business connected with that, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
But why did you bring your sister and Bob and Betty?
Because I believed it dangerous to leave them in the castle of Lubova.
Dangerous? Well, what do you think was going to happen to them?
I don't know, but I know these people, whoever they are, will stop at nothing.
Oh, Mr. Chandler, won't you take me along with you wherever you're going? Perhaps I could be of some help, and I might learn more about the plot so I could help my father. May I go with you?
No, indeed. Your life is much too valuable to Montalbania to risk it up here in the mountains where I'm going. And besides, don't you see, if anyone discovered your identity, my trip up here would be wasted.
Oh, I suppose you're right. And I should go back to Lubova at once.
Yes. And I should like you to behave as though you'd heard nothing. Count Metzels knows I'm his enemy. But I prefer not to have him learn I've warned you. Although it's a hard thing to ask of you. Please say nothing to your father until I return, will you?
But there might be things he could do to prepare for a revolution if he knew.
But preparations would arouse their suspicion. And that's just what we don't want, don't you see?
Oh, I suppose so. You're sure there's no immediate danger?
Yes, I'm sure.
What did you tell the servants of the castle to account for your being away?
The servants are not telling anyone we're away.
But are you sure you can trust them?
I'm trusting them because I must in this emergency.
What do you think you're going to find up here in the mountains? Of course, you're not going to try to go to the mountain with scimitar.
I don't know yet.
No one's ever been there. My father's soldiers have attempted it 12 times. You'll never be able to reach there, especially with Mrs. Regent and Betty. Isn't there some other way you can get the information you need?
I don't know of any other way.
But what about this magic of yours? Can't you...
I'm sorry, Nicholas. I never discussed that with anyone.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's that commotion over there? The fire. It looks as though another stranger had wandered into the camp.
I wonder who he is.
Looks like the Beau Brummel of all the gypsies to me. Look at that embroidered jacket and his enormous earrings. And look at the rings on his fingers. And that friend of yours looks as though he's about to make a speech about him.
Listen, my people. Here is a Romany from far across the mountain. His name is Karzag. And he boasts that he is the best singer in all the world. I have made him welcome. But he wishes to pay for his food with his song. Quiet, quiet,
hear
my people.
Let the stranger beware of the road. Let the wanderer in. Send him back to that town where he dwells. Send him out of the Romany.
My sister will be frightened. I have to go back to her.
Frank.
I'm coming, Doc.
Frank. That wasn't a gypsy song. That was a threat. He ran to you, Frank.
Oh, Mother.
Maybe he did.
Wait here, all of you. I'll go and speak to Lupu.
Well, come on over to the wagon with me if you're scared, Mother.
Yes, I think I will. Come, Betty.
Mrs. Regent, will you let Betty stay out here a few minutes with me? I promise I'll bring her right in if anything happens.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Please.
Well, for just a few minutes, then.
Betty, would you like to know the real reason I decided not to return to Paris?
Why, yes, Mickey.
I'll tell you.
Wait! Where do you go? Let him go, Lulu. Let him go.
Oh, Mother! Uncle Frank!
The gypsies with whom Frank Chandler and the Regent family are traveling halt for the night. Chandler sees a man lurking in the shadows. He comes closest. It is Prince Nicholas, dressed as a gypsy. He says he often visits the gypsy camps in this disguise. Chandler reveals to Nicholas the plot of Count Metzel to overthrow the king. And Nicholas says he will return that night to the capital. Suddenly a gypsy singer enters the camp. The words of his song contain a veiled threat addressed to Chandler. He goes to question the man, leaving Nicholas alone with Betty. In a moment, there is a scene of confusion, and Betty's voice is heard crying out in terror. Chandu, the magician.
Betty, dear, what is it? Betty, are you all right? What happened?
What's the matter, Betty? Quick, what happened?
Well, Uncle Frank, Mother, Nicky's gone. He's just gone.
Which way did he go?
I don't know. I didn't even see him go.
What's the matter, for Pete's sake? You made enough noise to wake up all the dead kings and queens of Montabania.
Oh, hush, Bob. Tell us what happened, dear. Nothing happened. Nicky was just sitting here with me, and all of a sudden, Lupu said something to that singer. Then I heard Uncle Frank say, Lupu, let him go. And, of course, I looked over there at the campfire. When I looked back again, Nicky was gone. Uncle Frank, do you think somebody could have just snatched him right up right before my eyes?
No, of course not. Well, what was Nick saying to you, Betty?
He hadn't said a word. He asked me if I wanted him to tell me the real reason he decided not to go back to Paris. And I said yes.
Well, what was it?
He didn't get a chance to tell me. I don't know.
Well, can you beat that? He must be around here somewhere. Uncle Frank, what happened to that gypsy that sang?
He ran away into the darkness. You see, he had accomplished what he came here to do, and I think he was afraid he might be caught and questioned.
But what about Nicholas?
I think he deliberately disappeared because he recognized the man who sang.
But why didn't he stay and tell you about him if he did?
I don't know. But I think he's probably well on his way back to Lubova by this time.
But why would he do that? Why would he run away, Uncle Frank?
I don't know. But I'm sure nothing's happened to him. I doubt that even those who kidnapped Nicholas would have the audacity to try it again.
I don't know, Uncle Frank. Seems to me anybody that'd have the nerve to kidnap him right out of his own palace garden wouldn't stop him knocking him on the head out in this wild place.
Oh, Bobby, don't.
Come now, Doc. Why don't you and Betty go to bed? We have to be up early in the morning, you know. And I want to have a talk with Lupu. This gypsy coming to the camp has changed everything.
Well, here comes Lupu now. He's probably been around beating the bushes with sticks.
You didn't find him, Lupu?
No, he must be a snake that he has wriggled off into the forest.
Never mind, let him go. It'd probably do no good if we caught him. Did you notice his hands, Lupu?
No, Chandu. But I think if the mark of the scimitar had been on his hand, I would have seen it.
Yes, you probably would have.
The mark of the scimitar?
Do you mean...
Never mind, Bobby.
Oh, I don't mind his knowing that. Lupu thinks all of the Sabins men have that mark of the scimitar on their hands.
Oh, isn't that awful?
It's awful for them, but it's an advantage to me. Lupu, I can see now I cannot take my sister and her son and daughter with me further. Will you ask your father if they may stay with your tribe while I'm gone?
Oh, Uncle Frank, you're going to leave us here, are you? Just when things are getting exciting.
Oh, please take us, Uncle Frank. It's just like a movie.
Yes, I must leave you there, Bob. Now that we've been recognized, it'd be foolish to take your mother and Betty with me.
Oh, dear. I don't think it'll be any fun at all without you, Uncle Frank. I'd rather just go back to the castle and wait until you come back.
But we can't do that either.
Now, children, don't argue with Uncle Frank about this. Remember, his work comes first.
And remember, too, Bob, if you went back to the castle, there would be Mr. Grant and Lesson.
Gee, I don't want to go back to the castle. I didn't say a word about that. I think he'll be keen to stay with the gypsies. The only thing I wish is that I could go with you.
What do you think could happen to us back there at the castle, Uncle Frank?
Anything.
Well, Mother, you can't say we aren't getting an education. Last summer we were down in Egypt living in the palace of a princess. And now here we are way up here in Montevania living with the gypsies. And nobody could tell us from the gypsies ourselves. Don't you wish Father could see us, Mother?
I think it's just as well Father doesn't know about this little expedition.
Yeah, I made his eyes pop out, I tell you, when I told him all those things that had happened to us down in Egypt. Remember that first day we were in Alexandria and we went down to buy those red slippers for Betty, and the man locked us in the upstairs of his shop?
I certainly remember. I have those slippers with me now, right in my suitcase. Remember how Yusuf came into that upstairs room by a secret door and gave us Arab clothes to escape in and told us Nagi had gone to Cairo? Doesn't that seem a long time ago?
Yeah. And we thought every day we'd find out where Father was.
Remember the first time we ever saw Abdallah, when he came and sang to us in the marketplace in Cairo? And he had that ring of Father's on his hand that Roxanne made him wear so you'd see it. Remember, Mother?
Indeed I do. When he disappeared in the crowd that day, I thought I couldn't bear it.
Yes. If it hadn't been for Abdallah working for Roxanne, Uncle Frank never would have had the chance to go there disguised as a sorcerer to Roxanne's room. And that's how he found out where Father was.
Yeah. Only he wasn't really there in Algiers where Roxanne said. He took him away before we got there. Uncle Frank, I'll never forget that night you and I went out to that room to get Father, and it was all my fault we were so late getting started. If I'd known where that old well was that night, I'd have stepped right in it myself.
Oh, now, Bobby, don't keep thinking of that. We found Father. You mustn't reproach yourself about that.
Well,
no, indeed you mustn't. If Roxanne hadn't taken your father to Malta, and if things hadn't happened just as they did, the coincidence of the trap door over that old well being open and all that, Roxanne probably would have been alive today, and we would still be fighting him.
Well, gee... Seems to me I'd just as soon be fighting Roxer as these groovy gypsies with swords tattooed on their hands and all that stuff.
And Dimitri.
Now, Mother, why is it you don't like Dimitri? I've asked you a dozen times and you won't tell me. I think he's the most fascinating man I ever met.
More fascinating than Abdallah?
Oh, yes, I really do. Why, Dimitri's been everywhere. Well, Mother, you should just hear him tell about some of his adventures. Abdallah was romantic and everything, but Dimitri's a man of the world.
Well, I know he is. I don't blame him for liking him. I think he's keen. It was kind of a break, Nicholas, meeting him in Paris. I mean, it's kind of fun knowing a fellow like Dimitri.
Yes. Think of knowing two princes at once. And think of Nicholas coming here tonight dressed like a gypsy.
Miss Betty, I think you and your brother are almost gypsies yourselves.
Why? What do you mean?
Your uncle has told me how you have wandered about in Egypt so long seeking your father. And I think maybe you are small part gypsy now.
Say, Lupu, is it true that the gypsies originally came from Egypt? I mean, hundreds and thousands of years ago. Is it?
So it is said in the legend of the Roman, Miss Betty.
Well, have you ever been to Egypt yourself, Lupu?
Yes, young gentleman. But of that, Lupu never speaks.
Why, I didn't know you'd ever been to Egypt, Lupu.
What's the matter, Lupu?
Please not question Lupu ever about Egypt.
Well, gee, what happened? Oh, I'm sorry, Lupu.
Lupu, did you know Prince Nicholas was here in the camp tonight?
Nicholas? No. Did he depart without food or welcome by my people? My father would be very angry. I do not understand why the prince should visit our tribe and go away unseen by us.
Did you know he was in the habit of dressing himself up in gypsy costumes and visiting the various gypsy tribes?
Oh, yes, I have known that. He thinks he is not recognized, but I know his highness, no matter how he stain his skin and speak a Romany tongue.
Does Nicky speak gypsy or whatever it is they speak?
It is so, Miss Betty.
Oh, thanks. I feel terribly uneasy. Every shadow out there beyond the firelight seems to me to hold a staring face. Darkness is full of great eyes.
Why, Dorothy?
Oh, it's not just my imagination. There's some terrible danger here. You know the yogi warned you himself. Give up this trip to the mountain of the scimitar. You'll be risking your life. And if they know you're on the way, your trip will be useless anyway. Oh, please listen to me, Frank. Please.
No, I can't, Dorothy. I must go. I've got to learn the secret of that hiding place up there.
You will not go alone, Chandu. You will permit that I also visit my cousins at the mountain?
Why, yes, if you like. I'll take you. You're sure your father won't object.
Chandu knows that when I seek the favor of my brother, nothing is forbidden by my father. And were he king of all the gypsies in the world, and I his only successor, it would be the same.
I don't blame him either.
Well, what happened to us while Luke was gone?
Not many miles from here, there is a pleasant valley, sheltered by two high mountains. Summer lingers in that valley even yet. And there, if I ask it, my father will order that the tribe be camped for a few days.
How far is it from here, Lupu?
If one whips the horses, the valley may be reached in one day from here.
Oh, but Frank.
I know that. But think, at the castle there'd be no one to look out for you but the servants. Unless I asked Nicholas to give you a guard of soldiers. And even then it might not be too safe. But here, these men of Lupu's will protect you with their lives. Don't you see how much safer it is for you and Betty here than back in Lubova?
Just as you say, of course, Frank.
Sister of Chandu, your brother has spoken truth. The daggers of the gypsies will guard you and your daughter until there is no longer one man left to fight for you.
Say, you sound kind of like Abdallah, a fellow we used to know down in Egypt. He used to pull that kind of a line, too.
Bobby.
I know. In the valley of which I tell you, you will be safe. And maybe, Miss Betty, you will become so much a gypsy you will never wish to return to your home across the sea.
Maybe I will. I think it's lots of fun to live outdoors like this and sleep in a wagon at night and dress up like this. It's just like going to a party all the time.
And I'm going to get the men to teach me a lot of stuff they do. Is that all right, Uncle Frank?
Of course.
Listen, Frank. Listen. Do you hear that music?
Yes, of course I hear it. I was hoping you wouldn't, though.
I don't hear it.
What is it? Listen. It's the song of a stable's men.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Dressed as gypsies, Frank Chandler and the Regents are traveling toward the mountain of the Scimitar, where Chandler hopes to discover the secret stronghold of the mysterious Astaban, long the terror of Montebania. As the wagons are halted for the night, a gypsy appears and sings a song whose words are a threat. Believing his disguise has been discovered, Chandler decides to leave Dorothy, Bob, and Betty with the gypsies and go on with Lupu. At that moment, from far up on the mountainside, comes the defiant music of Astaban's men. Chandu, the magician.
Where do you suppose they are, Lupu? Coming down into the valley here?
Maybe there'll be another raid.
No. They are not coming down into the valley. I know it. They only play to frighten you away, Chandu, as they have frightened all who live in Montebania for many years.
Where are they? They must be very near.
No, I can't show you where they are, that you hear the music so clearly. Do you see this high, high mountain?
Yes.
It goes up, up in the air for 1,000 feet, and at the top is a small, flat place where many people may stand together and look down into this valley.
You mean that's where that music is, right up there over our head?
You have spoken.
Can they see us down here?
They can see the camp, I imagine. But it'd be impossible to distinguish people at this distance, even if it were light.
So they probably would think this is just an ordinary gypsy camp, huh, Uncle Frank?
Yes. But the fact that fellow came here and sang that song shows they know we're here. Or at least that I'm here.
But maybe that music up there is just a signal, Frank. Maybe there are men all around us among the trees in the dark.
Oh, no, Dorothy. There'd be no reason for that.
Well, there might be, Uncle Frank. What if they just wanted to swoop down on this camp and attack it?
Oh, don't be silly, Bob. Why should they want to fight Lupu and his family?
No, no. They do not want to fight with my people. They think to frighten Shanzu, whom they fear.
Well, are your people friendly with this gang of Estabans, Lupu?
They have never been enemies of my people. And I would not fight them now. Only that the slayer of my brother is with them.
What makes you think the man that killed your brother is with Estaban, Lupu?
Many things.
Lupu, do you know who Estaban really is? He's not a gypsy, is he?
It is said he is, but there are many stories told of him in the camps as in the town.
You don't think he's a gypsy, do you?
No, young gentleman. I believe the story that says many years ago, Estaban was driven from Spain for a crime in his youth.
Gee, I wonder what he did.
It is said he disgraced his family.
Are you sure he came from Spain?
I think he came from that little country they call Basque in the Pyrenees Mountains.
The Pyrenees? Well, that's where Natasha came from. That girl I dragged out of that slave place in Alexandria. Wouldn't it be keen if we had to go to the Pyrenees?
Well, I don't know much about geography, but I can just see you running up one side of a mountain and down the other trying to find Natasha when you don't even know her last name. You couldn't talk to her if you did, because she didn't speak a word of English. Remember how she sat there in that cushion at Eustace and just cried and didn't say a word? Remember, Mother?
Yes, dear. But you're interrupting Uncle Frank's plan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle Frank. What was it you were saying?
I want to ask Lupu a few questions about Estaban before we go any further. How old is Estaban supposed to be, Lupu?
Oh, Chantu, no one knows. He must be an old, old man.
I wonder if it could be possible that Estaban is no longer alive, but his followers just use his name in order to keep people terrified. That's what Mr. Mason thinks. And he's been here a good many years.
I think that is not so, Chandu. How would Esteban's band remain together and not be torn apart by quarreling if he is no longer living?
Oh, it might be that someone else rules the band now. He surely wouldn't overlook training someone to succeed him.
Chandu, you will not mind if I ask you one question?
Of course not, Lupu. What is it?
It is said that the wife of Mr. Mason has been sent away to Paris. Do you know if this is true?
Why, yes, it's true. How do you say you heard it?
In this small country, what one man knows, all men soon hear. Do you know why she has gone away?
Why do people say she is gone?
It is said she is ill of some strange thing, and I wonder.
Have you heard anyone say anything about Mrs. Mason suffering from poison?
No, I have not heard. But myself, I have wondered if it may be.
Do you really think it might be possible?
If I think so, it does not mean it is true. But Mr. Mason has learned very much about the gypsy. And there are some very bad men among the gypsies, as well as among the child.
You mean somebody's trying to get rid of Mr. Mason too, huh, Lupo?
That is what I think. There may be one who believes Mr. Mason has been in Montebello too long.
Oh, I never heard of such a heartless thing. Who could be cruel enough to plan it? And how could they do it if they did plan it?
Someone in the household could administer the poison in her food. But, of course, this is no servant's plot.
It must have been a servant who's been giving her the poison, if this horrible thing is true. Has Mr. Mason discharged his servant?
No, not yet.
But I should think he'd be afraid for himself.
But don't you see, he doesn't want to invite too much attention to the matter until he knows it's true. His wife's being poisoned.
But I should think the authorities in Montebello would be glad to know of the existence of such a plot. And no one's safe from these people if this is true.
Yes, but suppose it isn't true. Had Mason reported it to the king, for instance.
Well, gee, I don't see why that'd hurt anything.
It would be impossible to keep the matter a secret if the king had an investigation made. And when it was discovered the charges were untrue, Mason would be so unpopular, the government would be forced to ask that he be recalled.
Do you think the same people are doing all these things, Frank?
I don't know. But when I receive my next letter from Paris, I'll know whether I'm on the right track.
You didn't think when you came up here that you'd have all this trouble, did you, Uncle Frank?
Yes, I knew I'd have plenty of trouble. I didn't know just what sort it would be, that's all.
Goodness, how late it must be. What time is it, I wonder?
I'm getting cold, Mother. May I go over by the fire?
Yes, let's all go over there for a few minutes before we go to bed. I'm getting cold, too.
Looks to me as though the gypsies have all gone to bed already. I don't see one of them.
When one must be on the road before the sun rises, one should find sleep early.
I'll be glad when I get old enough so people won't politely suggest to me that I go to bed.
Now, Bobby.
We might postpone the evil moment by having some coffee before we go to bed, if you like, Bob.
Oh, Frank, I wouldn't like to get someone up to make coffee.
Sister of Chandu, you do not know, then, that Lupu can make better coffee than any woman in the world. If you come over to the fire, you shall see how quickly it can be done.
Oh, is that so? Where did you learn, Lupu?
Many, many miles from Montepenia, in a place I think you do not know. Sometime, if Chandu will permit, I will tell you.
I wonder what he means. Gee, I bet he's had a lot of fun in his life, wandering around all over the place, didn't have to go to school or anything.
Don't forget, somebody shot his brother. That wasn't very pleasant, I guess.
No, I forgot that. Glad it's not me he's looking for.
So am I. He kind of scares me, even if he does laugh and sing and tell stories all the time.
Well, Uncle Frank, I don't see who that man could have been that Nick would know and run away from.
I'm sure it was one of the Stevens men. But I don't see why Nicholas should run away from it. And besides, he promised me he'd go back to Lvova tonight. He had a horse tied out there, a little way from the camp.
We all know where Nicholas might have met this man, though, Frank. He's such a rash boy. He might have...
Oh, now, Mother, he's not a boy. He's 22 years old.
Oh, I know, but he acts like a boy. Well, he thinks it's fun to run into danger.
I don't see why a Stevens men would be out here looking for Nick.
Oh, but they weren't looking for Nicky. That man was singing that song for Uncle Frank.
I know that, but I mean, if the Stevens men had anything against Nick, they could have bumped him off a long time ago if they'd wanted to.
Oh, Bobby, don't.
Well, all right. I certainly don't understand it. Say, Uncle Frank, you don't suppose Nick is chasing that fella, do you?
If he is, he's making the mistake of his life. I can't believe he'd be so foolish.
But he doesn't know about this plot, Frank.
Yes, he does. I told him about it tonight.
And he'd probably think it would be a great adventure to follow that man right into a Stevens camp if he could.
Boy, I don't blame him. I think that'd be keen.
Not thinking of trying it, are you, Bob?
Bobby, for heaven's sake.
Oh, I'm not going to. I know it was silly to go down there to that shop the other day with that old man. You don't have to tell me that. You can't blame Betty and me for being interested in finding Nick, can you?
Of course not. But you might have known there was something wrong with the man when he wouldn't come with you and tell me the story. Or even tell Mr. Mason.
Oh, Uncle Frank, don't scold him. It was my fault as much as his. Well, I know we've done a lot of silly things, like getting lost in the catacombs and going out to look for that underground passageway at Najee's palace. But we'll never do it again. Honest, we won't, Uncle Frank. Will we, Bob?
Gee, no. The next time anything like that happens, I'm going to stand right out in the middle of the street and count up to a million before I believe any story anybody tells me.
I hope you'll both remember that. Frank, what do you do when you find the gypsy hiding place, you and Lupu?
First, I want to make a sketch of the road or trail leading up to the place so anyone can find it.
So the king can send his soldiers right up there, huh, Uncle Frank?
Yes, if necessary. And then if I can get right into the camp, I will. Because I want to identify as Stephen.
You don't think you'll know him, do you, Uncle Frank?
It's possible I might, Betty.
Honest? You think you know who he is right now?
No, not exactly. But he may prove to be someone I've seen before.
You don't think it.
Dorothy, you don't think it's who?
Who, Mother?
Oh, never mind. Go on, Frank. What were you saying?
Just that I want to look around at this stronghold of the Stevens and see if it could be used as a place to store ammunition and hide a large body of soldiers.
But how could soldiers get up there without being seen? Well,
that's one thing I want to find out.
Look, Mother. Look, Uncle Frank. There comes Lupa with the coffee. Doesn't he look funny?
Hey!
Frank, what's that?
Pistol shots. Listen. Come on, Lupu. Hurry. It must be that gypsy fellow and Nicholas.
Disguised as a gypsy girl, Princess Nadia has secretly entered Montebania to warn Frank Chandler against the sinister Prince Dimitri. Chandler believes the plotters against the king are only waiting for the return of Dimitri, Count Metzos, and the bandit Esteban to launch the revolution. And now Lupu has discovered a cryptic message which reads, Esteban will be at the place of the lion tonight. The present act opens in the drawing room 2 hours later. Chandu, the magician.
I suppose she'll go right home again tomorrow. Or maybe even tonight.
Who, Nadia?
Yes. You know, I used to think if I could make her sorry enough for Uncle Frank, she might marry him.
Well, you certainly have your nerve. How do you know Uncle Frank even wants to marry her? Anyway, if I was Uncle Frank, I wouldn't want to marry anyone just because they were sorry for me. Girls certainly have crazy ideas.
Oh, they don't either. You just don't understand.
No, and I'm glad of it. I have more important things to think about. I bet Uncle Frank wouldn't want you to interfere in his affairs anyway.
Dorothy, do you know where... Where's your mother?
She and Nigel are upstairs, Uncle Frank. Mother's going to lend Nigel some things to wear. She didn't bring any of her own things at all. She left them in that little Austrian village where she met Lupu.
Yeah, Mother and Nadja have been up in Mother's room long enough for Nadja to put on every dress Mother has.
Oh, no, they haven't. Besides, Nadja had to take that brown stuff off of her face.
Well, that shouldn't take long. I gave her a solution to find to remove that stain. Oh, there they are now.
Oh, Nadja, you look so cute. Mother's things just fit you, don't they?
I am glad to see the last of those gypsy clothes for a time.
It seems kind of funny to see you in American clothes, though, Nadja.
Remember the first time we ever saw her in clothes like ours, Mother?
Why, no, dear. When was it?
It was that night she went out of the palace with Abdallah, and Ruxer met them on the street.
He thought Abdallah had taken me prisoner and was bringing me to him. And I could not tell him Abdallah was working for you, Chandu.
You mean you went with Ruxer, rather than risk his discovering Abdallah was working for me?
Yes, you were gone, Uncle Frank. You were going up to Malta, remember, to find Father.
Oh, no, that was before he went to Malta to find Father. He went up to Malta for something else, didn't you, Uncle Frank?
Yes. I was called to Malta for a secret meeting.
Oh, I remember now. You received a message from the Yogi saying Nadja was in danger. You borrowed a British seaplane to come back to Cairo.
But let us not speak of this now. We have so little time together. Tell me of your husband, Dorothy. Where is he now?
He's working in Paris on some secret experiment for the French government.
But, Chandu, is that safe for him? Those papers of his that were stolen from his home in California have never been found.
I know it. And the only reason he's safe is because no one knows where he is. He's been given a laboratory in a secret place. And there are only two people who know its location.
Does he work there alone?
I don't know just what the arrangements are. Leon Dufresne is in charge of things there.
Uncle Frank, show Nadja that paper we found under the little statue of the Egyptian king, why don't you?
Yes, and show her the statue, too.
Yes, I want you to see them, Nadja. Just a moment. They're here.
I'll get them.
You wait till you see this funny little thing. We found it down in the cellars while Uncle Frank was up in the mountains hunting a Staben, the gypsy bandit. Look, Nadja. Here it is.
Oh, it is a statue of Khufu. Why, that's the king that built that big pyramid, isn't it? I mean, the biggest one of all.
Yes, and he is also believed to have built a small pyramid where we have held our meetings for many years.
And look at this paper, Nadja. There's a lotus flower drawn on it in invisible ink. I developed it the other night when we found the paper, but it fades out after about 5 minutes.
A lotus?
Yes.
But it is not Egyptian paper.
No, it's Chinese. It was made in Singapore.
Oh, Chandu.
Don't look like that, Nadja. It's only what we might have expected.
What is it, Frank?
I wonder who that is.
It's Nicholas, I think. I sent a message asking what about you tonight.
Good evening, Rupert. Mr. Chandler is expecting me.
You have to go into the drawing room, Your Highness.
Thank you.
Good evening, Nicholas.
Good evening, Mrs. Regent. How do you do, Mr. Chandler?
Hello, Nicky.
Good evening, Nicholas. Princess Nadja, I present His Highness Prince Nicholas of Mauritania.
Your Highness.
I am delighted, Your Highness.
Nicholas, may I ask that you say nothing of the princess's presence in the castle tonight? I will explain at length later, of course.
Sit down here, Nicky.
What makes you look so funny, Nick? Mr. Chandler, you remember you spoke to me one day of a man named Von Boden, and I told you I'd heard of him before, but couldn't think just where?
Yes.
Forgive me, Your Highness, but I have just remembered in what connection I heard the name of Von Boden. He was presented to my father several years ago, and said he wanted to warn him against an Egyptian princess named Nadja.
There was no end of Roxor's scheming, was there, Frank?
No. What was it he said about Nadja? I don't remember all of it. It happened on one of my brief visits here. You see, Your Highness, I've been at school in Paris for several years.
Yes, I see.
But as I remember it, this Von Boden said the Princess Nadja was a brilliant political schemer who had some connection with a crowd of international plotters.
How long ago was this, Your Highness?
Oh, 3 or 4 years.
Oh, Roxor had warned Europe against me even then.
I don't understand who Roxor is.
Roxor was the title Von Boden coined for himself. He lived a sort of double life, it seems. Up here in Europe, he was known as Von Boden, Count Von Boden. But in Africa and the Far East, he called himself Roxor and insisted that his men do the same. Nadja, you thought his name was Roxor, didn't you?
Yes. I have never heard him called Von Boden.
I see. Dorothy, I think it's time for Nicholas and you to go. Don't wake up for us, and please try not to worry about it.
Where are you going?
I'll tell you about it briefly. By the greatest good fortune, we found a note which said that his Staben is coming to Lobova tonight.
He is? That's extraordinary. Did the note say where he expected to be?
Yes. That is, it said, Staben will be at the place of the lions tonight.
Oh, but that might be anywhere. Would you mind letting me see the note?
Not at all. I have it here in my pocket. Here it is.
But it's written in Arabic.
In Arabic? A gypsy bandit who writes in Arabic?
Yes. That's just one of the many queer things about this situation. Now listen carefully, all of you. Bob, you and Betty hid the letter we found in the gypsy's clothes the other night in the cabinet, as I told you.
Yes.
Good. Now, if anything should happen to me tonight, I want you to take that letter and give it to the king himself. Not to a servant or a soldier, but to the king in person. Will you?
Sure I will.
But Mr. Chandler, how do you know where this place of the lions is?
Yes, Frank. Probably someplace in the hills around Lubova here.
Oh, don't you see? Don't you understand the significance of those rooms in the cellars where they've been holding meetings all these years? Don't you remember that enormous lion painted on the wall?
Frank, you don't believe they're going to bring that bandit of Saban into the castle here?
I do indeed. And Nicholas and I are going down there at once.
What can you do? What?
Oh, you don't understand, Najee, because you haven't been here. But we know that for generations, this castle has been a meeting place for those who plotted against the king. There are all sorts of things that make me believe this is the place. Come, Nicholas.
Yes.
Why do you take Nicholas with you?
It's most important that when we discover the real identity of a Stephen, I should be accompanied by someone whose word it would be impossible to doubt. Come along, Nicholas.
Of course.
I believe if we wait here in the shadow of the stone stairway, no matter if they do have candles to light up the place when they arrive.
I can hardly wait to see Estelle. Ever since I was a little boy, he's been the terror of the country. But I've never known one person who said he's actually seen Estelle.
I understand he's made himself a sort of legendary figure.
Yes, he has. I hope we shan't have to wait long. I can hardly believe this is as dangerous as I know it must be. It seems more like a game.
It's a pretty grim sort of game for Montevania. Listen.
It sounded like a window being opened.
It's probably a sliding door. And that's why we couldn't locate it.
Look over there in the corner to the right. There's someone lighting a candle just outside the doorway.
It's a good thing for us this room is large and the shadows are black.
Look at his shadow on the wall. He's a gypsy, beyond a doubt. See the shadow with his jacket and his hat.
I wonder what he's standing there for. I wish he'd come out in the room a little further so we could get a good look at him. He seems to be alone.
Look, there he comes. He's running his hand along the wall.
There must be a door there somewhere. And he's trying to locate the spring.
Yes.
Look how he's holding the candle down there.
Oh, of course. It's the figure of the lion painted on the wall. That's what the note meant. That's right. I wish he'd turn around this way so we could see him. Even if it was only for a second. I'd like to know what the beggar looks like.
Look. He's opening a door.
Enter, Stephen. We are waiting.
Look. The light shining on him from inside.
And I'm right. Estevan and Count Metzos are the same man.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.